Right. We're going to start the bottom of Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Bet. We're just going to review quickly that which we did yesterday, because the sugya today is not very long, but you just have to keep your head in it because of the complications that are involved. We had two opinions yesterday. We had the opinion of Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, and their opinion was that the Rabbanan believed that you cannot be, the Bechor was not even entitled to Pishnayim by a milveh. Nothing. Whether it was milveh, whether it was ribbit, he's not entitled to anything. Then shachum mitam, then we got from Eretz Yisrael, they sent, that a Bechor is no tel Pishnayim in the milveh, but not in the ribbit. And we said both of those are according to the Chachamim, and it's a machokas about what do the Chachamim hold. What do they consider ra'oi or not ra'oi? According to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, right, nothing is ra'oi. And according to the Shachu Mitam from Eretz Yisrael, they believe that a milveh is still considered ra'oi because it's kikavu, dummy, whatever the reasoning is that we discussed yesterday. Along comes a statement from a Meimar, which is that, and we'll start here, Amalei Avrach bar Rav the Ravino. So Avrach tells Ravino, Ikla Meimar Atrin, a Meimar came to our city, v'dorish b'chor notel b'shnayim b'milveh lo b'ribit. He was dorish like the Shachu Mitam, that a b'chor has a right to a double portion in the milveh and not in the ribit. So the understanding, right, again, of the Rashbam with regards to how this works is, he believes that the shtar itself is the keren, or the part of what is distributed by the estate, and the ribit is the peirot, right, that is the shevach that comes afterwards. And so the Chachamim hold that the milveh you're entitled to, but the ribit you're not entitled to. That the reason is because they get double portion, the Bechor gets a double portion in the estate, but he doesn't get a double portion in any shevach. So that would be consistent with their opinion, meaning that's what the Rashbam holds, that the milveh is part of the estate, and the ribit is the equivalent of shevach to the estate. The Rabbeinu Tam does not agree. I mean, Tosus brings the opinion of the Rashbam, Sheshtar Abiguf, Umalva Abishevach Enu Nira, and that he doesn't believe that that's the case, but rather the idea being that a milveh, and this is what we described later on, that a milveh is possibly kigavui dummy, and ribit is not kigavui dummy. So, Amarle, Nardai, Litamayu, the Nardai are consistent in their opinion. And this is the Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Gavu karka yeshlo, gavu mot eino. If they collect for the loan karka, then the Bechor gets pishnayim. If they collect cash, he does not get pishnayim. And Rav Nachman holds the opposite. Gavu mot yeshlo. If he takes money, he'll get a double portion. Gavu karka eino. If he takes property, then he does not get it. Now, both the Rishbam and Tosot agree that when we say Nardai Tamayu, it means that a Meimar who is from Nardo is consistent with Rav Nachman, but that doesn't mean he's not also consistent with Rabba. Just the point is that we have him being consistent with other opinions that we see. Machlokus between Rabba and Rav Nachman is about what exactly are you goveh, not goveh. A Meimar could hold that you can be goveh, either of them would entitle you to, or he could hold like one of them, maybe holds like Rav Nachman.
But a Meimar isn't
right, he makes no differentiation. So the question is, if he makes no differentiation, maybe he holds like both Rava and Rav Nachman, who say at least there is some manifestation where you would get the milveh, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, where there's never any chance to get the milveh. A Meimar never says what he means. We don't know what a Meimar says. A Meimar just says that you get the milveh. Which case you will get a milveh, we don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right that a Meimar will say in both cases you get it. But just here we see Rava and Rav Nachman at least agree to him, in principle, that the milveh could be something that the Bechor gets pishnayim. Right? Or it could be that he agrees like one of them, like Rabban or Rav Nachman. We don't know. Right? We don't know that. We don't know exactly how a Meimar fits into Rabban and Rav Nachman. But we understand Rabba. Rabba believes that the karka, you're ter muhzak in karka than you are in kesef. Milveh is lahotza nitna. So therefore, the karka, you are muhzak in. If you're muhzak in the karka, it makes sense that when you get the karka back, right, that he has some entitlement to that because that had a lien on it before the death of their father, and that's why he gets a double portion. Rav Nachman's a little harder to understand. We spent time yesterday between the Rashbam and Tosfos. The Rashbam just believes that since the milveh was given in cash, and this is the cash being repaid, the same cash, it's one transaction, and therefore it existed already before the death of their father. The Tosfos, on the other hand, wanted to suggest that was, since this is a normal form of payment, that's what you're somech yudat on, If you're samech to dad on it, that's how you get the Bechor taking Pishnaim, because that's already was considered almost as if collected. So there's, those are the two opinions. Now, what we're going to have now is a question on this Rabba and Rav Nachman. So Amar Le Abaye the Rabba. So Abaye is addressing Rabba directly. So you have Rabba and Rav Nachman who have opinions here. And then he's addressing Rabba himself. The Didach Kasha, according to your opinion here, it's questionable. Rav Nachman Kasha. And according to Rav Nachman, it's problematic. The Didach Kasha, according to your opinion, Rabba, it's a problem. Maishna Ma'ot Dulo. Why is it that money, do you say that he does not get Pishnaim? The lab hainu ma'ot shavok avon, because this is not the money that their father left. The money's gone, long gone, and now this is new money. So karka nami, when it comes to the land as well, right? Hakarka, right? Lab hakarka the shavok avon. Also, this is not the property that their father left. Meaning that the property here is something that's being paid because he defaulted on the loan and it's being taken otherwise. So this isn't the property that he was supposed to collect, or I should have collected on. Right? This is a payment because in the end, that was the circumstances dictated that he gets the property. Now you could easily differentiate and say, no, wait a minute, karka is different because of the lien, which we'll get to. The Gemara will get back to that later. But right now, it seems the question is, ma'ot and karka, neither of them were left by the father, and now they're being paid. Why should you have any right to them? Now, ba'od, the od is, the amar mar, that you, Rabba, yourself said, "Mstaver taimo de bnei marovo." The bnei Eretz Yisrael, they what they said makes sense. Dikadum safto v'zavna zvina zvine. Because if the grandmother goes ahead and purchases it, then it makes sense and it works because if she does it. Now, what's the case here? So this case is actually, if you skip down, what we're going to do is we'll skip down to the bottom of the amud here. It says, "My safto." What's this case of safto? So you're at the bottom of the Amud, my Safta. Da'ud Amar Lahu, a person says, Nichsai l'Safta, my possessions are to my grandmother. Instead of giving it to his normal Yoshim, he says, all my possessions go to my grandmother. Ubatra l'Yartai. And after she passes away, it'll go to my normal inheritors. So he, but first he puts it to his grandmother, and then afterwards it drops to his normal inheritors. So now, Havalei Brato. The closest relative, or the closest inheritor, would have been his daughter. That's who's left. Davin is Siva, and she was married. Shchiva b'chaye bala, u b'chaye savta. She passes away, predeceases her husband, and the grandmother. Batar de shchiva savta. So then the grandmother passes away. Atabal. Now her husband comes, a katova, and says, look, it belongs to me. Look, if my wife had been alive, she would have been the first in line to inherit from this grandmother. So if she's going to inherit from the grandmother, I, as the husband of this woman, should get it. So Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Liartai, Bafilu Liartai Yartai. That we give it even to the, right, we give it to the inheritors, or even the derivatives of the inheritors. I mean, when you say Liartai, my inheritors, it means anyone who comes Mikochi, or even Mikoach Kochi. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's the daughter, or the closest relative means would be the, here maybe we think, I mean, we don't know this yet, we think maybe even the husband should be entitled, because he's a derivative of the wife, or the daughter, right, in this case. So Rav Anan Amar Liyartai, Velo Yartai Yartai. Wait, it goes to my inheritors, but not to my Koach Kochi, meaning it goes to my direct inheritors, but not people who are derivatives of my inheritors. So if the daughter's not around, it reverts back to the grandmother, and the inheritors of the grandmother will take it. And that we don't, or unless there's a closer single relative, if there's a brother or a father, someone who is a direct derivative of this individual, if he's around, then fine. Otherwise, it'll return to the grandmother. Shalchu mitam. So here's the Bnei Marava. This is what, on this is what Rabba's statement is. Shalchu mitam hilchasa kavate de Ravanan, the lav mitameh. The loch is like Ravanan. The true, it only goes to the direct inheritors, but not for his reasoning. The loch is like him, the baal lo yorit. Right? So he agrees with Ravanan that the husband is not entitled to anything over here. Velav mitame, and not for his reasoning. Why? The ilu Ravanan savar afagal davle brother brate lo yorit. According to Ravanan's reasoning, if there were, this daughter had a son, that son would not inherit over here because the daughter is the koach, or a yoreit, the yartai, and the son is yartai, yartai. So he won't entitle it. Velohi, that's not true. No, we do not view a son of the daughter as being a derivative koach. As we've said before, we said this many times, that the inheritor steps into the shoes of the one who bequeaths them to them. So in this case, if the daughter passes away, the son, her son, becomes or replaces his mother. And therefore he becomes a direct derivative of the bequeather, meaning that here the father who's giving to this daughter is not giving it to his daughter, which is then passing to the son. The son now becomes the daughter when the daughter passes away. And how do we know this? We had this by Benot Tzavchad. Benot Tzavchad, when it came to inheriting their grandfather's property of Chefer, they became like Tzavchad himself. And they inherited alongside with Tzavchad's brothers from Chefer. They were on the same level. The daughters of Tzavchad became Tzavchad, and they inherited like the other brothers. And that's why they took Pishnayim and the Bechorah. All those reasons are because they are now Tzavchad. Ubal, hainu taimet lo yarit. And why does the husband not get it? Mishum tahavalei ra'ui. Because it's ra'ui. Ve'en abal nutel b'ra'ui k'mechzak. It's very simple. When it comes to the property here, the property is not muchzak by the daughter. It's not in the daughter's possession yet. If it's not a muvzak by the daughter, then fine. When it comes to her son who steps into her shoes, no problem for him to inherit. On the other hand, when it comes to a husband, the husband only inherits with that which his wife held at that moment. That which his wife owned at the time of her death. Did she own this property at the time of her death? The answer is no. So, therefore, the husband cannot get a piece of it.
The husband is like
he doesn't get it. Yeah. It'll be different. We'll see later on. We'll come back to this by the dot. But there's a long discussion about what it means. Are they exactly equal? Do they have the same characteristics? All right. So now, but in a baal notel beroi muzak. Why? So you could read it two ways. You could have read it right that the reason here that the baal notel beroi muzak is because the property here. Alright, let's read this on Michlal de Rav Huna. So the implications from this are that Rav Huna savar, Baal notel b'ra'oi k'muchzak. The implications from this are that Rav Huna believes that Baal will take even b'ra'oi k'muchzak, because he argues on Rav Hanan and says the husband does get it over here. So Amar Rav Elazar, Dover zeh niftach b'gdolim v'nistayim b'ktanim. The big guns spoke first, and the little guys will finish it up. The big gun being Rav Huna, the little gun being me, Rav Elazar. So what is that? Kol omer acharech kamar achshmeachshav dami. Anyone who says that after you, it will become your property, it's as if you said meachshav. If you said that it happens now, which is basically if you say to someone, mayom lachar mita, that means that the kinyan, or the effectiveness of the kinyan will be as of the moment, mayom, from today. So even though it will only be triggered later on by the mitah, nevertheless, the kinyan is effective as of today, so you precede anybody that comes after that point in time. So too over here. When the property, when you say, first give it to my grandmother, and then after my grandmother, it should go to my inheritor, that means that you are saying the equivalent of, give it to my grandmother, and me'ayom ulachar mitah, right? It will also belong to my daughter, or my inheritor. So if that's the case, the daughter already was muhzak in the property.
So her husband would get it.
Right, so her husband would get it. And that's Rav Huna's opinion. Exactly, Rav Huna's opinion, his husband gets it. Not because he's notel v'roi b'muhzak, but because it is muhzak. That's what he's saying. It is classified like it is muhzak, and therefore he should get the property. So it basically comes out from Rav Huna basically believes is that the grandmother does not own the property.
She
gets a usage or basic a leasehold on the property. So the property really belongs to the daughter, but the grandmother is granted usage of the property until she dies. And when she dies, then it comes into the possession of the daughter. And according to this, the first opinion, it seems that the reasoning that it works is that the kinyan hagruf in the karka went to the daughter, and the kinyan haperot went to the grandmother, and she can use it and free and do whatever she wants to the property. So that's Rabba's, exactly. So I'm a Rabba. Mistav rotayma de b'nei barova. So this is exactly what you're saying. That the b'nei barova makes sense. Dikadim savta v'zavna. That if the grandmother goes ahead and sells the property, zvina zvina. So that's exactly what you're saying, David. Wait, how could you claim that the grandmother only has a leasehold here on the property? Because we know if she exercises a right to sell over here, and she can do that, we do not reverse the sale. What is that indicative of? So the way the Rashbam reads it, what's that indicative? That this is not a Kenyan payroll. Exactly what you're saying, David. How can I prove to you it's not a Kenyan payroll here? It's actually a real Kenyan. How do I know that? Because she could sell it. If she could sell it and it's irreversible, that's not a Kenyan payroll. That's a Kenyan begufa karka. So that Rabbah says, then I know, that's how I know the Bnei Marav are right. This is Roy Bumukzak because, as the Rashbam says here, this is not Kenyan payroll, it's a Kenyan karka. If the grandmother is a Kenyan karka, guess who doesn't have a Kenyan karka? Right? The daughter.
That's it. Whatever
right, exactly. So that's exactly a proof, according to the Rashbam. The way Tosfos formulates it, it's slightly different. Tosfos formulates it that, truthfully, that the daughter does own it. It could be that it's a Kenyan peirot over here, that the grandmother has a Kenyan peirot, or the grandmother and the daughter really has some sort of Kenyan aguf, but it's not a strong enough Kenyan aguf. Why is it not a strong enough Kenyan aguf? By evidence that the grandmother can sell it. The evidence that the grandmother can sell it shows you that whatever relationship the daughter has with the property, it's not mukzak. The way the Rashbam's reading is that there's no longer any Kenyan payroll here. There's clearly no Kenyan for karka. Daughter has nothing until it reaches her. So this says, no, maybe the daughter does. If it wasn't this situation exactly, maybe someone would have Kenyan aguf in the karka. If it was set up as mayom achamita, maybe it would work. But the problem here is that this unique case, the grandmother is enough strength to sell it. And because she has the strength to sell it, that weakens whatever the hold the daughter has on the property. And that weakened hold does not allow her to consider mukzak and the husband won't get it. But either way, now, that's what we got Rabbah's opinion. This is the Rabbah that we just quoted in the Gemara. So we go back to the Amud Aleph. Right, so now, this is the question of Abaye. Abaye says, Ba'od, ha at hudo amar, ha amar hudo amar, you said, mistavar time od ibn marova. That the Bnei Marovas makes sense. The kadum safta v'zavno, zvina zvina. If she goes ahead and sells it up front, then her zvina is good. What does that prove? That proves that the karka is not mukzak. The karka is not mukzak. It's the same thing over here. How could you argue that in our case over here, where you have the milveh outstanding, that the karka is mukzak? You just proved to me here, where you have this, first it goes to my grandmother, then it goes to my daughter, that the daughter is not classified as mukzak in the property. That's what Rabbah just said. Rabbah says that the grandmother can sell it and the daughter has can't do anything. What does that prove to you? It proves to you that the next party or the later recipient doesn't have a mukzak in the property. Oh, so over here, same thing. How could you argue? Now there is a clear difference between the two. What's the difference, which the Gemara will get to? What's the difference between that case and this case? This is a loan, and that is a gift. With a loan, you have a lien on the property. With a gift, you have no lien on the property. So that is a clear difference. But this is a question of a bite. Now, the Rav Nachman kasha. And Rav Nachman, we also have a problem. Maishna karka dolo. Right? Why do we say the karka? He don't get it. The bechor doesn't get pishnaim. Right? Because, right? Lav, hainu ma'ot. Right? Shavach avon. I mean, nami lav, hainu. Where I skipped the line, right? Dolav ha karka shavach avon. Because this is not the property their father left him. Oh, Nami, how can you differentiate with the money? Lav hani maot shabakavon. This is also not the money that their father left. The ode. And here really is the bigger question. How am I Rav Nachman? Am I Rabbi Baravua? Rav Nachman himself has a statement. Listen to this. You told me, shigavu karka b'chovat aviyem, bal chov chozer v'kovemiyem. So if you have a father who is a creditor and a debtor, simultaneously he's a creditor and a debtor. After his death, the children, right, the Yitomim go ahead and they collect on the debt that was outstanding to him. He is a creditor. They go and collect karka from it. You know what can happen here? Another creditor, the creditor of the father can now come and take the property. He can come and take the property. Now, we know there's a general principle, you're not allowed to take from the property of Yitomim. Without a shvua, you're not allowed to collect from the Yitomim because the Yitomim are not obligated to pay the loan back. It's only items that belong to the father are the creditors allowed to come and take because they had a lien on that beforehand. So what do you see here? You see here that you have a father, let's call it a father named Reuven, and he has money owed to him by Shimon. But he also owes money to Yaakov. So now when Reuven's children go ahead and collect from Shimon the property, comes Yaakov and say, I can take that property. I can take the property. Wait, it came into the possession to the Yitomim only after the death of their father. If it's after the death of their father, Yaakov has no right to take that property from the Yitomim. He can only take items that exist in the estate beforehand. What does that show you? That shows you that when he was a creditor, Reuven was a creditor to Shimon, it was as if he held the property. That means as if he was mukzak in the property, because his creditors could come and collect it. So how can Rav Nachman stay over here that the karka is not considered mukzak, and yet over there in that case he's saying it is mukzak? All right. So those are the two questions. It's very simple. Abaye's questions are pretty straightforward. One question is simply, I don't see the difference between karka and money. That's the first question. Second question is the shitatam questions. According to you, Rabba, the shitatcha, you show by the baal it is mukzak in the case of the daughter and the grandmother, and over here you're saying the karka is not mukzak. Is mukzak. And over there it's not mukzak. And over here we have Rav Nachman saying that the karka is not mukzak. And yet in the cases where it's a balchov of balchov, creditor to creditor, he does say it's mukzak. So here are your basic problems. Now here's the answer. And this is what's subject to the big Rashbam in the Tosfot over here. Amalei, lo. Lo de didi kasho, velo de Rav Nachman kasho. It's not a problem for me, it's not a problem for Rav Nachman. Taimo de bnei marova kamrinon, ve'alan lo svirlan. Hey, it's very simple. We are explaining the Bnei Marava, but we don't hold of it. That's it. All right, so whatever we stated before, the Bnei Marava that we're talking about over here are the Shalchumitam says that the Bechor gets Pishnayim in the Milveh and not in the Ribit. So now we're going to explain to you, what does that mean when they get Pishnayim in the Milveh? What does that mean? Why do we have to reconcile? Or what's the issue? I'm going to read you now like the Rishbam. What's the problem? Because we have another set of Bnei Marava. We have Bnei Marava over here. And the Bnei Marava over here say that the halacha, right, is mistavro. Right, they say, Amarava, mistavro tama de Bnei Marava. The Bnei Marava over here that say, Dikadim sadas abnes vini zvini. Who are the Bnei Marava over here? The Bnei Marava said that Ravanan's right. Right, but not me, tamei. Shachu mitam, hilchazek ravanan, velav mi tamei. The hilchazek ravanan that the husband does not get it. Why? Because it's considered ra'oi and not mukzak. And therefore the husband doesn't get it. So over here we have a case where the Bnei Marava is saying it's not mukzak. And the milveh does not, or whatever this outstanding debt is, does not go to the husband. And over here we do have them, right, saying it is yes. So what do you have to do? You have to explain that there are different cases. One's talking about ma'ot, one's talking about karka. We have to differentiate between these two shalchumitam. We have to reconcile the Bnei Marava. So in order to reconcile them, Rabbah has one way to reconcile them, Rav Nachman has which way? Whichever way. Which way is your term mukzak, and which way is less mukzak? So whichever way is your term mukzak, we're going to explain the case of the milveh over here. And whichever case is less mukzak, we're going to explain the case of the safta case over here. So that's what they're trying to solve, and that's what they're explaining. But they themselves do not hold of it. So now, what it means they don't hold of it, that's a good question. So what do Rabbah and Rav Nachman hold? So according to the Rishbam,
according to both of them, there's no difference between
Moth and Karka. Okay, but once you say there's no difference, oh, so is that true? Do they hold like Shmuel, or do they not hold like Shmuel? I mean, you could go one either way. You could go one of two ways. You can say that there's no difference between Karka and Moth, and like Shoal suggesting over here, they go like Shmuel before, which means that you get nothing. You don't get Milveh, you get absolutely nothing in a Milveh. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that they hold that Moth and Karka are no different, and you get in both. That both of them are considered Mukzak, and you can have in both. So the Rishbam reads it like...
That would be like
Rebbe.
Like Rebbe.
Right. So now, the Rishbam reads like Shaul and says there's no difference. Rabbah and Rav Nachman both hold like Shmuel. When they both hold like Shmuel, what does that mean? It means if they both hold like Shmuel, that in neither case will you get anything. So now, once you've done that, okay, now how do we reconcile their opinions over here? How do we understand what Rabbah said? So now we understand Rabbah is easier to understand in that position, because Rabbah says, okay, over here, I can explain to you that when it comes to karka, right, then I say to you, listen, karka is more mukzak than ma'ot. And that's how I explain the Bnei Marava. But when it comes to the case of safta, there's no lien. There is no lien on the property. So if there's no lien on the property, then that's the reason that they're not mukzak. So I can explain to you. Here, the Bnei Marava say that you get they're mukzak in the milveh because there's a lien. In the case of the safta, there is no lien, and that's why the baal's not mukzak in the property. So Rabbah explains here the case of milveh by the shalchumitam as being a case where there's a lien. In the case by the safta, there is no lien, and no, even if there's karka pes, it doesn't work. That's it. That's Rabbah's opinion. Now, he himself, what does Rabbah himself believe? Rabbah himself believes, like Shmuel, that there is no, right, that there is, you're not mukzak in anything. you're not mukzak in anything. And if you're not mukzak in anything, then neither the husband nor the bechor will know tell pi shnayim over here. So that's not a problem. Now that's how we explain. Now, what about Rav Nachman? So Rav Nachman is a little more difficult, because Rav Nachman now says, okay, listen, the case of the Bechor is a case of Ma'ot. Case of Ma'ot, I say is your term Mukzak, and that's why the Bechor gets no tel pishnayim, according to the name Marava. The case of the Savta, why does the husband get nothing? He gets nothing, because there we're talking about Karka. And by Karka, I don't believe you're really Mukzak in it. But me, myself, you know what I believe? I believe that you get nothing. You're never Mukzak in anything. Oh, if you're never Mukzak in anything, then Bechor gets nothing, Abal gets nothing. Ah, what about Rav Nachman right here? We have Rav Nachman saying here, listen to this. Amar Rav Ravua, you told me shegavu karka b'chol ataviyim b'chol b'chozer b'golvayim. So that's not true. We see that Rav Nachman openly states that a creditor does have a lien in the property, because his creditors are there and able to come later on and take the property away from him. So what Shaul mentioned before, is this really according to, this is Shitas Rav Natan. It's what we call Shibuda de Rav Natan. Shibuda de Rav Natan is a Yeshita that we see in many places in Shas. But here, what the Rashbam claims is there is Machlokas in the Gemara and Pesachim. Rav Pesachim has a Machlokas between Rava and Abaye. Whether when you collect on a loan, do you collect L'mafreya? Or do you collect Mikano de Haba? When you collect on the loan, do you go back? And it's as if you own the property from the moment the loan was given. Or is it that the collection of the loan in the property only happens from now going forward? When you take the property, then you become the owner. But until that point, you were not the owner. So Rava is the one who says Mikano Laba. Abai says Lamafreya. Who do we pass in like when we have a Machilkas Abai and Rava? We pass in like Rava. So that means it's Mikano Laba. Now, how does Rav Nachman explain his statement? If we hold like Rava, and Rav Nachman says that when you're Govei Karka, that your creditors now can come and take the property. Well, that shows that it's like the Mafreya. That sounds like Abaye. So how does he reconcile with Rava? He reconciles with Rava through this Shibuta de Rabbi Natan. That there is such a concept. There is a concept that when you have a lien on the property, even though you don't own it, your lien can be passed through. That your lien is see-through. It's a transparent lien. And therefore, if you have a lien and someone else has a lien on you, it's a transitive property. It's as if he has a lien on the third party. If A has a lien on B and B has a lien on C, it's as if A has a direct lien on C. So that's the answer. So this is the way the Rashbam explains our Gemara here. Exactly. That's a Shibud of the Rabbi Nota. It's basically that transitive property, which is that you can look through with any loan, with any obligation. If you have an obligation to B and B has an obligation to C, it's as if A has an obligation to C. So now, if that's the case, now we can explain everything. Rabba and Rav Nachman both agree. Right? Rabba and Rav Nachman agree in all cases that there is no Shibud, you're not Mukzak in anything. So therefore, when it comes to both a Bechor, both a Baal, you get nothing. It's all Ra'ui and you would get nothing here. They're just explaining Bnei Ma'arava. They're explaining Bnei Ma'arava that over here, what's the most likely case? According to Rav Nachman, it's a case of Ma'ot. According to Rabba, it's a case of Karka with a lien. And what's the case of Bnei Ma'arava by the Savta, by the husband? According to Rabba, it's Karka without a lien. And according to Rav Nachman, it's just Karka because he believes that you're not Mukzak in Karka. He believes you're Mukzak in Ma'ot. Ah, if you're not Mukzak in Karka, how do we reconcile Rav Nachman over here? That's Shibuda de Rabbi Natan. And that's why he believes that there is a see-through ability to touch the karka, but not that he believes that you actually own the karka or you're mukzak in the karka. All right, so that's the explanation of the Rashbam. Tosfos takes issue with the explanation of the Rashbam, because basically ikar chasu min ha-sefer. He says that the biggest part of the premise over here is missing from the Gemara. What do you mean the biggest part of the premise? The biggest part of the premise is that Rav Nachman's opinion is reconciled through the fact that he holds like Rava plus Shibuda de Rabbi Natan. Nothing here. There's not a mention of that in the Gemara. So the Rabbeinu Tama, on the other hand, suggests, if you look here, it's in the narrowest lines in the Tosfos. It's the last of the narrowest lines in the Tosfos. It says, Rabbeinu Tama Mifarish, the time of Dibnei Marava Kamina, Filelo Svirile, the same thing that the Rishbam says, Ela Didei, according to him, meaning Rabba, Ben Gavu Karka, Ben Gavu Ma'ot, Einlo. So that's consistent with the Rashbam. That's consistent with Rabba. Rabba is very easy to explain that way. That according to Rabba, whether, right, it's Karka or Ma'ot, you get nothing, like Shmuel. And the Bnei Marava, he's just explaining the Bnei Marava. And the Bnei Marava, he explains as being, over here, being Karka with a lien, and by the Safta case, a Karka without a lien. Rav Nachman Savar, skipping down, it's about halfway, midway down in that the wide lines of the Tosfos. Rav Nachman Savar, Ben Gavu Karka, Ben Gavu Kubamaot, Yeshlo. He gets everything. He's Mukzak in everything, Rav Nachman says, like Rebbe, and we know that. What did Rav Nachman say before? Rav Nachman up above said, Rachman di deyamar muta lasod ki divrei Rabbi. Rav Nachman himself paskened like Rabbi at the top of yesterday's, on Amud Bet, yesterday at the top of Amud Bet, Rav Nachman himself paskened like Rebbe. So over here, we're going to say Rav Nachman also holds like Rebbe. He holds you have a muchzak in karka in mot. He's just explaining, right? He's just explaining the position of the name Marova.
Or Rav Nachman could also be holding the position of a Meimar, which we said before, where it's not clear what he holds, but maybe a Meimar holds that you're goveh by a milveh, both from Karka and Ma'ot, because he never tells us whether he holds like Rabba or Rav Nachman. So maybe that's Rav Nachman's position, is premised on a Meimar, and still within the position of the Rabbanan, but he holds that you can collect the milveh ben bekarka, ben bema'ot.
So that's it. Rav Nachman said, "Ben gavu karka, ben gavu mod yeshlo, kamoshi vi abaye." How do you tell me? Should gavu karka bechavot aviyam? Right. That's like abaye bees over here. That would be consistent to Rav Nachman's opinion over here. That why is it when a creditor collects and then his creditors can come and collect? You know why? Because Rav Nachman believes you're muksak in the karka. That's exactly right. It's consistent with his opinion. That's why he says it. Rabbi, I don't know if he addresses it. All right. The Rav Nachman, Alibi the Nafshei, Vaday Savar, because Rav Nachman himself believes that filu gavu karka yishlo. Even if they collect from karka, it's mukzak in it. V'ha'agamar kavu karka einlo, haynu alibi the bnei marova. He's just explaining the bnei marova. And therefore, Rav Nachman is going to say that why does he explain the bnei marova that way? Sfirla Rav Nachman, defalge bnei marova, bin gavu karka the gavu ma'ot. That they differentiated between karka and ma'ot because they didn't explicitly say either one. I mean, they should have said ben karka ben ma'ot. In fact, they didn't say it, means they're differentiating. And he believes which one is better, ma'ot, than karka. So now that's the explanation. So the machlokes between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam is basically what's the position of Nachman. Everyone agrees that the position of Rabba is consistent with Shmuel, and you get nothing. Nothing is considered muzak. Rabba is just explaining the bnei marava, and that's easy, because Rabba is very easy to reconcile that way. The problem is Rav Nachman, and how do you reconcile Rav Nachman? The Rashbam believes that Rav Nachman believes, just like Shmuel, that you're not muvzak in anything. And if you're not muvzak in anything, how do you explain the case of Rav Nachman from the Gemara Mesachim about the see-through creditors, meaning that they're able to take? That's because of Shibud of the Rabbi Natan. That's the transitive property of Shibud, not because you're muvzak in the property. Rabbi Natan says no. It's very easy. Rav Nachman's Lashita Day, he holds like Rebbe, that you are muksak in a milveh, you're muksak completely in a milveh. That's ma'ot, that's karka, right? That's everything. But why? So that is consistent with his opinion by the transitive properties over here. It doesn't have to be transitive anymore, because you are muksak in the karka, that's why other creditors can come and collect. What about the Bnei Marava? He's just explaining what he thinks the Bnei Marava makes more sense. Over here, by Bnei Marava, he says Ma'ot, that's why they're Mugzak. In the case of the Safta, he says it's a case of Karka. In case of Karka, you're not Mugzak, so that's why the Baal does not get. So that'll be explaining Kodesh according to Rabbeinu Tam. Right now, let's skip back to the end of the second Amud here, which is Amara Papa. The end of the Gemara here, which is the last three lines on the Amud Bet here. The last 15 is Amara Papa. Hilchasa. Let me tell you what the Halacha is. Ein Baal Nutel Bera'oi Kumu Mugzak. Number one, a husband does not collect in that which should come to him, and is yet not in possession of it. So what does that mean? Now, a baal will be different than a husband. A husband will be different than a bechor, because a husband has a slightly different status, which is that, over here, when we say, the ein baal notel b'roi, if you look in the Tosfos here on the right, Amar Rav Papa Yochus ein baal notel b'roi, av ha-shevach notel. You do get the shevach. He will get the shevach, the perish of kuntres. Why? How is a husband different than a bechor? A husband inherits his wife, and there are no competitors for the property that he inherits. On the other hand, a bechor inherits the property from his father. He has competition. What's the competition? He has other brothers who also inherit with him. So therefore, when a husband inherits, all the property becomes his. It's his right away. It falls into his possession. That means then, if what happens to the property accretes somehow or appreciates somehow? Who does that belong to? Of course it belongs to the husband. Do you know who owns the property now? The husband. So of course he gets all shevach that came afterwards, because it's his property. That's not true by the bechor. The bechor, we have questions about whether he gets the shevach or not, because the bechor still has other brothers who have rights to that shevach. So it's not necessarily all his. It's not his property yet. And if it's not his property, then we have to deal with whose is it, and who does the shevach belong to. So that's one thing. The second thing Tosfos says is that a husband does not get a right to the outstanding loans of his wife. If his wife was a creditor, and the money later came to and was repaid later on, he doesn't get it. Even with money that his wife lent out from her Nichsei Maluk, which he owns the rights to, he has the leasehold on, she lent that money out or she lent them out somehow, when they get repaid, he has no right to them because that is Ro'oi Kumukzak. He's not Mukzak in the loan, and it's only Ro'oi, and he doesn't get that. And like Nezek, anyway, but we know this from the Gemara in Baba Kama or Ksubos, that if his wife is entitled to some sort of Nezek payment and it comes after her death, he doesn't get it because that's Ro'oi and not Mukzak. There are those that, I just say that there are those that argue on the Tosfos over here who do say that the husband does get in the milveh of his wife, he would get that when it comes out of the next day, Malug, because he's already Mukzak and everything, and therefore she's only like acting on his behalf. Therefore, when the return comes, it comes back to him. Alright, so that's the explanation of the Baal, the halacha of the Baal. Now, Ve'ena b'chor notel b'ro'i k'muchzak, and the b'chor also doesn't take in that which is ro'i to come and not to muchzak. Alright, so now, what does that mean? Let's understand that. Ve'en b'chor notel b'shnayim b'milva, ben shigavu karka, ben shigavu ma'ot. So here's the halacha here. Right, it's like Rav Papa, and we're going to hold like Rav Papa over here, that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim in a loan, whether it's Karko or whether it's Ma'ot. So according to this, this is either, according to Rashbam, that's consistent with Rabba and Rav Nachman. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, this is consistent with Rabba and not with Rav Nachman. Right, so the halacha is that you get nothing. By Milva, you get neither Karko, if you collect Karko because Ma'ot, you get nothing. Now, on the other hand, there are certain items that he will get. He's paskin like the Rabbanan. Now, the question is, what we said before, that there, even the Rabbanan agree that in certain Shevach, the Bechor gets. What are those? Those are Shevach where the name does not change. In the Shevach, that remains the same name, like a tree that got bigger, right? Or fruit, we saw there that the small grain that became big grain. Those they do get in the Shevach, Notel Pishnayim, because the those are not considered new names. It's not considered that any change. Only significant, whether it's Yishtana Hashem, when the name changed, over there we say that the Bechor does not get in the Shevach. Now, if the, again, the Bechor predeceases his father, the Bechor predeceases his father, and now his children, the Bechor's children are coming to collect on his behalf, that's not considered Ro'oi K'muzak. The Bechor's right to his father's property that is passed to his children, we said before, the children step into the feet of the Bechor, and therefore they can collect on behalf of the Bechor double portion. It's not, they don't consider that, oh, the Bechor doesn't get Ro'oi Mukzak because later on it's going to come to him. That's not true. The Bechor, they step into the shoes of the Bechor, they become like the Bechor, and the Bechor collects a double portion even after his death. What he doesn't get is after his father's death, he doesn't get anything that's Ro'oi to him. And therefore here, what's considered Ro'oi? Again, Ro'oi is considered something like a milveh that is coming to be collected, whether it's collected in Karko or Ma'ot. Anything that's Shevach afterwards, that's invested in the property, or something that changes and changes the name of the item. Of a Shevach Meila, something that happens by itself, naturally, that increases the value of the property, as long as there's no Shinoi Hashem by it, that the Bechor will get Pishnayim in it. Again, he's different than the Baal because he has competition. He has competition and he has other brothers. If there were no other brothers, the Bechor would be just like the Baal. The property becomes his, and any Shevach that happens is his, because there's nobody else to take it. And therefore it is Mukzak with him, because he becomes now the owner, the full owner of the estate. Right now, the last thing he says is, Umilva Shi'imo, Palgid. If the Bechor owes money to his father, right? If the Bechor owes money to his father, what's the din? Does the Bechor say, I keep it? Or does he give it back to the estate and then it's divided amongst the brothers? Does he have to repay it and then it's divided amongst the brothers or not? I mean, that this Pishnayim over here, the Chelek Bechorah that he has, that Pishnayim, does he keep it for himself? Because it's his loan and he has to repay it, so it's with him now. Or do we say he has to repay it to the estate and then, again, afterwards, that'll become Ra'oi and he'll only get a single portion in his loan, not a double portion in his loan. So that way, Palge, the Rashbam is consistent with appearing in other places, which is, this is like Sumchus. And since Sumchus, it's Maman Amutaba Safek. Here we don't know which way to go. It's a Safek. And since this is a Safek, we say what? But Palge, split it. Tosfos here, again, is consistent with his opinion in other places, that Muhammad and Mutaba Safek, we split where the Gemara explicitly says split, but we don't hold like Sumchus. That's a Rabban, where the Tosfos in other places says we don't hold like Sumchus, but when the Gemara explicitly says Palge, we do hold not like Sumchus, but we do split it, even according to the Chachamim. The Rashbam says no, it's consistent with Sumchus, and therefore we give it. Alright, so we'll stop over here.